This feast is very old in the church, in the Roman church. To look at these two dimensions of the life of the church, Paul, the preacher, traveling all over the world, and Peter, who, upon whose faith the whole thing rests. Upon Peter himself, endowed with faith, which he has accepted. And that meant for both of them, martyrdom. Paul is telling Timothy he knows that. He's arrested, and he knows it won't be long before he will be decapitated. He knows that that's what will happen to him because he's a Roman citizen, and you can't crucify a Roman citizen. And then Peter, sooner or later, will know. We only have here, first we have his first imprisonment, which is an image of the resurrection. He's there, bound, the gates open, and he's free. God can do that to anybody, anytime. And then we have this text. The region of Caesarea Philippi, you can look it up. Most of you will have a little map in the back of your New Testament and see where it is. It's off in the northeast, outside the territory of Israel. And there were mostly pagans living there, but there were some Jews. And it was there, as they are alone, that Jesus asked this question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Now he's waiting for the reply, because he knows that the one who gives this reply is the one. He probably already presumes that he knows the one the Father has picked to be the leader. So he waits for the answer. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Somehow they came back. Of course, you know, there was an expectation that Elijah would come back before the Messiah. So then he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said in reply, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now just think of what a work of the Holy Spirit went into that confession of faith. Jesus sees that faith and says, you are from now on rock. Kephas in Aramaic, Petros in Greek, you are the rock. And on you, I will build my church. We are, 2,000 years and more after that. And still, that rock is there in Rome. Through all sorts of vicissitudes, good and bad, I will build my church. And nothing will destroy it. Neither the sins of the believers nor the attacks of the unbelievers will destroy it. It's remarkable, isn't it? And here we are, probably 18, Jesus was about 30-something in the first century. So we're, more than 20 centuries later. The church is there because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And God has blessed us in our own day with men, some of whom were prophets, Pope John Paul, and John the 23rd, who started the council, that whose repercussions are still with us. We have not yet begun to realize the full program or the full potential of the council. We're still fighting about what it means sometimes. And the gates of the netherworld will not prevail. If there's one thing Satan hates, it's the Catholic Church. If he were to succeed in destroying it, it wouldn't be long before faith would disappear from the earth. We need this rock. And Jesus knows that. I will build my church. And it will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, history and philology help us. This binding and loosing is a rabbinic term. It means to declare what is acceptable and what is not. And so, that power is exercised in the sacrament of confession. Nobody can fully participate in this mystery unless they are in the state of grace. And if they're not, you see, the priest, because he's been given that power, declares you are free. You may now worship with God's people, fully worship, and receive the sacrament. Now what we have in the two texts before the gospel is a question of suffering. Peter in jail, Paul facing death, and we know that Peter was also martyred. The reality of Christ existing on this earth is still here, the reality of the suffering Christ. The church is making up those who are willing in their bodies what is wanting to the sufferings of the Christ. What can possibly be wanting? Nothing in one sense, and in another this mystery of the suffering of the Christ. And so we have this invitation to us, because we're the church. Yes, it's true, you know, the Pope will suffer and the bishops and all, but it's the whole church. The whole church is called to live this in an act of love, giving ourselves totally to the Father so that our lives are replaced by the life of Christ. I live now, no longer I, Christ lives in me. And that's the Christ who lives his life on earth in a life of suffering to build the church. We've had great saints in our day in whom this mystery of Christ has been remarkably lived out. Some are very prominent, like Mother Teresa, John Paul, Padre Pio, and so forth. Others may be greater, but hidden. This is the mystery. See, the rock is this person and the faith. Jesus says in Luke, in a text similar to this one, I prayed for you, Peter, all of you, it's a plural, I prayed for all of you, Peter, that you, Peter, your faith, fail not, and that having been strengthened, you strengthen your brethren. Satan wants everybody to sift like wheat and to destroy their faith. And this faith, I think only in heaven, when we grasp the whole thing, will we understand what an incredible gift this faith is and why it is so attacked, why it is a source of persecution. So that's why we celebrate this feast today. These two men who between them changed the history of the world in the power of Christ.